I'm joined by Peter Marcus, a reporter for the Durango Herald, and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. Ed, quite a few seats are in play, and we could potentially see some change in leadership.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it this way, the Democrats are expected to hold on to the House, where they have a 3-point lead right now. But the real question is the state Senate, where the Republicans have held an 18-17 seat lead for the past 2 years. There are three seats that are really at play here. And the trick is the Democrats have to win all three of them in order to take back the Colorado Senate. One is an Arvada area seat belonging to Republican Senator Laura Woods. The others are open seats that are held by term-limited Democrats in Adams and Arapahoe counties. If they were able to do this, it could really change the conversation, because much of the last 2 years involved Democrats sending bills from the House to watch them die in the Senate, and Republicans sending bills from the Senate to watch them die in the House. It's no guarantee that anything that went from the House of the Senate to die in recent years is automatically going to pass into law. But if you think about some of the issues that are involved, increased regulations on oil and gas drilling, increased taxes on corporations with offshore affiliates, even the idea of how to fund transportation and education, such as possibly the reclassification of the hospital provider fee, all of those are going to have a heck of a lot better chance of passing if the Democrats control the Senate as well as the House.
How close do you think Democrats are to winning those seats, and how much is the national conversation going to play into it?
A lot of people think far more about the top of the ballot than the down ballot races, even in a race like this where so many people despise both of the top of the ballot presidential candidates. One of the interesting factors, though, is going to be, and this is probably the key race out of them all, the Senate District 25 race in Adams County between State Representative Kevin Priola, a Republican, and former State Rep Janice May, a Democrat. Adams County is a place that used to be reliably Democrat, that trended a lot more Republican 2 years ago. How much is that going to keep up this year?
Peter, talk about the role of turnout. What are we seeing?
Well, so far, Republicans are not where they want to be. If we're looking back to compare it to, say, 2014, Republicans were way ahead of where they are right now. We'll preface by saying these are early returns. These are through Wednesday. Democrats have about 166,000 ballots in. Republicans have about 141,000 ballots in, and unaffiliated voters make up about 103,000. So Democrats have currently a sizable advantage. What we're probably going to see, and the most likely outcome, is that this is going to tighten. There's probably a lot of Republicans out there who are underwhelmed, to say the least, with this election. They may be staring at that ballot on the kitchen counter, and they just haven't turned it in yet. The question is what they do, how many maybe hold their nose and even vote for Hillary Clinton, how that translates to down ticket races, and how many just sit it out completely.
And in your region of the state, Southwest Colorado, we have one of the closest House races in the state.
So we have J. Paul Brown, a state representative out of Ignacio. That's House District 59. And that's been a really closely watched legislative race. He's running, he's being challenged by Barbara McLaughlin, a Democrat, the wife of former state representative Mike McLaughlin, who didn't hold on to his seat following the 2013 package of gun control measures. That district often comes down to like a few hundred votes. So Republicans underperform and voter turnout in that district, that is not a good sign for J. Paul Brown. And it's also playing into the CD3 race there, congressional, between Scott Tipton, the Republican incumbent, and Gail Schwartz, the Democrat challenger. This was a race that wasn't supposed to be anything at all. The Tipton campaign was looking to just sleep through this election. And while Tipton probably still has the advantage there in terms of numbers, it's definitely more tight than they would have liked it to be.
Ed, you talked a little bit about what would happen if Democrats are in control of both branches and the governorship. Let's say Republicans do hang on to the state Senate. Do you think we'll see the two parties being able to work more closely together?
I get a general sense that there's a rising level of frustration at the fact that nothing went through the past 2 years. And I think both parties are probably going to be willing to give a little bit. Now, the Republicans are going to come back with some of their signature issues that didn't pass the last 2 years. Construction defects reform, basically making it harder for people to file class action lawsuits against condominium builders in order to spur more affordable condos. And also, they really want to push through a $3.5 billion transportation bonding package. I'm not saying either of those go through especially the way that the Republicans have written them. But I think Democrats are going to be a little bit more open if they know that they're going to have to deal with two more years of the Republican Senate in trying to find some compromises and maybe working through some of these issues rather than assuming, hey, they're going to die, but we're going to win back the Senate.
Thanks. That was Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal and Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.